Loudest environment I've ever been in, though, and we're only 50,000 fans for a, you know, a nothing game to them. Their program sucks.
Born on the banks of the Red Cedar.
Now it's Michigan.
Is there, when you were in Starkville, what were the sounds of Starkville?
I mean, cowbells. I mean, it was absolutely insane. I mean, just 50,000 people ringing their cowbells the entire game. Even Jason Candle, who's will never, you know, always in the moment, always even keel, even he had a cowbell in his hand ringing it.
So. You didn't bring home a ceremonial cowbell for us to ring here?
I should have.
On the heart of the rivalry?
Well, I'm sure Mark Monroe has them because they ring them at the Walleye games too. So
no, but you were supposed to bring one from dipped in the red clay of Mississippi.
I know.
Okay, well. That I suppose we'll let you proceed with the show. Anyway, welcome back to the Heart of the Rivalry.
Great to be back, Phil.
On this show, we follow college football rivalries from the center of the college football universe. That's right, Toledo, Ohio, a border town that harbors Michigan and Ohio State fans and Toledo and BG fans. And we talk about the college football world through the prisms of those fine programs. And as you can already have surmised, our own David Briggs, the centerpiece of the show, the crystal from which our information grows.
That's you, Phil.
But he was down in Starkville seeing Toledo absolutely give it to Mississippi State. Toledo now has, why don't you tell me the stat that you sent me just earlier today?
Well, a Toledo fan shared on Twitter, and it's a great stat. Toledo has as many wins against the SEC since 2015 as Ohio State, the Mighty Buckeyes, or since 1989, too. Toledo beat Arkansas, number 18 Arkansas in 2015, and as you mentioned, went down to Starkville and laid the wood on Mississippi State. So two wins since 2015, Ohio State, two wins since 1989 against the SEC. So I don't know. I mean, pretty even. I mean, I guess have to give the edge to Toledo as an overall program, but I mean, Ohio State's been pretty good too.
They've been okay, but obviously, you know, the harbinger of great college football is the University of Toledo Rockets.
No,
they're
for sure.
Leading the way.
And this week it was.
So you went down there with Kyle Rowland.
Yeah.
Tell us about the trip.
Well, it was fun. Never been to, I've been to Mississippi a couple times, Biloxi and on the coast, but never been in the heart of Mississippi. Interesting place. Always kind of just, well, first of all, they call it Stark Vegas, which is kind of a cheeky other fans and other SEC schools would, you know, just kind of, it's regarded as, you know, backwater Mississippi. So they would say, we're going to Stark Vegas. And it began as a dig, but Mississippi State has turned it around and now they embrace it. Everything around, there's a million signs all around campus, the branding, welcome to fabulous Stark Vegas. So they turned it around and have kind of leaned in and had fun with it. But it is a cool campus. It kind of doesn't have the old world South feel of Oxford, which is where the University of Mississippi is. It's more of a normal campus, but it's a cool scene. The stadium was awesome. Normal SEC scene. Great tailgating. We're mentioning off air the cowbells, which is just absolutely ridiculous. It kind of sounds like, I don't know, if you've been to a Walleye game, there's probably 3,000 people ringing cowbells. This is 50,000, including liquored up students who do not know how to ring the cowbells. They just ring it all game long. There's a good play, bad play, ring the cowbell. It's kind of ridiculous, and I can't imagine being a Mississippi State fan with cowbells ringing every second of every game at every sporting event, but that's another story. And by the end of the game, there were no cowbells. It was just the Toledo section chanting MAC.
By the end, by halftime.
Yeah. The students were booing by the first quarter, leaving before halftime, and then completely empty in the second half. The MAC chant from the Toledo fans, obviously, a kind of a spin trolling takeoff of the SEC chant that fans love to chant at Big Ten teams. I don't think they would have been chanting SEC at MAC teams, but you never know. Toledo was that good. So, but yeah, fun trip. Great result for Toledo, and it means a lot in the big picture.
Favorite moment?
I think it was I thought it was just fascinating, the complete silence and the emptiness in the second half of it wasn't a huge crowd, probably about 50,000, but for it to be almost completely empty by the end with a MAC school taking it to Mississippi State like that, I don't know. I did predict Toledo would win. I don't think any of us saw this happening. If you put it into a little bit of context, you know, I think there's four other group of five wins against Power Four teams so far this season. All four of those combined, the power or the Group of Five team won by 27 points. Toledo wins by 24, and it could have been double that. I mean, that's against an SEC team that, by the way, would not have recruited a single Toledo player out of high school. On the flip side of that, Jason Candle, Toledo coach, kind of took a dig at Mississippi State afterwards, saying, you know, these are the kinds of schools that recruit our guys right off our roster. This shows that you can succeed here. So it's kind of a powerful message for Toledo, another powerful message for the MAC. We saw Bowling Green take Penn State down to the wire week one. We see Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame, dominate the game week two. And then we see Toledo just absolutely liquidate an SEC school. So it just kind of shows that, you know, there's still a lot of good football in the MAC, like we said last week. And again, it's interesting how this positions Toledo going forward. They are now one of four Group of Five teams with a power conference win, and it's still undefeated. And you know what? That opens the door for a lot of special things. That's the formula to get to the top of the Group of Five hierarchy. This is the first year of the college football playoff, and that guarantees, for the first time ever, like a real seat at the head table for teams like Toledo and teams from the Mid-American Conference. So kind of wrote a column about that this week as well. It's very interesting. There's the great paradox of college football at the moment. There's never been a more unsettling time to be a Group of Five fan, with the NIL era, the transfer portal, the big schools are raiding them. You know, just this time.
But
of
you also have a path this, for the first
yeah,
time.
This time of existential angst. And at the, by the same token, there's never been a more exciting time to be a Group of Five fan. And I think, you know, it's probably too early to start talking about the playoffs, but it's not too early to start dreaming. Toledo's right there in the mix. They've laid the first round. They've laid the first brick. Let's talk about BG.
Yeah, I think they've got another. They take, as you said earlier, they take Penn State down to the wire. They've got another chance with another big opponent. They play Texas A&M. Of course, it's at A&M, but what do you think?
First of all, shout out to the person. I did not go down to Bowling Green for the press conference this week. I was in Toledo, but I did read the transcript of Scott Leffler's press conference. There was a question from one of the reporters. I don't think it was from our Michael Burwell. I hope not. But he was asking, going up against a big SEC team, Texas A&M, you know, they're going to be bigger, stronger, faster, all that stuff. Reporter asked something along the lines of, how do you prepare for a team like this? Is there extra work in the weight room? Or as if, like, you can just, you know, get those Popeye arms in 1 week over to the MAC strength coaches, just juicing these guys up the week before the big SEC game.
We've got A&M this week, guys.
This is more of a normal SEC MAC matchup. A&M's not great, but they are pretty good. They have former Bowling Green defensive coordinator Mike Elko. He was really good at Duke, and now it looks like he's turning things around at A&M. Bowling Green's 23-point underdog on Saturday, but they have these kinds of wins almost every year. Scott Leffler's first year, they're a 26-point dog against Toledo. They beat Toledo. 21, they're a 31-point dog against Minnesota. BG beats Minnesota. Last year, I think 23 touchdown dogs at Georgia Tech. They hammered Georgia Tech, so it would be completely stunning if they beat Texas A&M, and completely unsurprising based on the track record. So we'll see.
So we're going to talk about Ohio State also, but sort of the most interesting thing maybe about the upcoming Ohio State tilt against Marshall is the Marshall coach in his unique sales pitch.
He's offering a Southern fried kind of fast food chain.
He's saying if you come here, you can eat. I'll guarantee that we'll get you all you can eat. So tough to turn that down. Yeah. If you've seen any photos or social media videos from the Ohio State training table, I think they're getting fed just fine. Finally, Michigan, USC. Can Michigan get back on track, or are they continuing to burrow underground in Ann Arbor?
We'll see. There's a lot of issues there, but struggled again against Arkansas State last week. Davis Warren, the former walk-on quarterback, throws three picks. Sharon Moore, the coach, makes the change this week, goes to Alex Orji, the more of the dual threat, the guy we all thought was going to be the quarterback coming in. We saw him in the Ohio State game last year, used in those running packages. We haven't really seen him throw.
Doesn't seem like either of them can throw all that well.
No. And that's a little bit of an issue.
At quarterback? A minor issue.
Didn't matter last year. I mean, J.J. McCarthy was really good. A member of Penn State, I think they ran 22 straight times. It was kind of like in the midst of the sign-stealing drama. It's like, you know what? We're going to tell you exactly what we're going to run. You're not going to be able to stop it, and we'll tell everybody to shut up about the cheating.
Well, they don't have Corum or McCarthy now. So.
Right. So, and a all-new offensive line and different coaches. And so, yeah, I think this is, again, not to beat a dead horse, but it was a huge mistake for them not to go in the transfer portal for a quarterback that could have maybe, you know, papered over some of the flaws elsewhere. And I think Michigan's going to keep paying for it. It looks like it's going to be a very long year. And I expect they'll lose on Saturday night.
Oh, man. Brutal start for the Wolverines. That's our A1 segment. When we come back, we're going to go off the field with the halftime entertainment. We'll be right back. Okay, right. Let's do this halftime segment. And for this edition of our halftime segment, we're going to flip roles a little bit. And you're going to ask me about a project.
I want to talk about me. yeah. So what's, you have a new high school football documentary that's kind of Hard Knocks in a high school format leading up to Perrysburg High School football this season. What was that like?
It is. We did, it's called Under the Helmet, and the sports department approached me about doing something like this last year where we covered St. Francis. And this year we turned the gaze to Perrysburg. I started going out there at the very end of July, and I followed the Perrysburg football team as they prepared through training camp all the way up until their first game against St. Francis. Last year we did St. John's.
I get my
Saints confused sometimes. Right. They played St. Francis in their first game at the Glass Bowl, and that was sort of the end of our coverage. We just profile what it's like for a group of kids to come together. Perrysburg has a ton of seniors. We worked closely with their coach, Dirk Connor. He gave us a ton of access. It was fun to do. Now, it's not like Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
We don't have professionals. They're kids, and we're dependent on a local high school to give us access.
There weren't moments where, like, Dirk Connor's bringing in kids to cut them, and you've got the cameras in the room. I know there aren't.
Telling them we got a lot of money riding on your contract. But, you know, there's none of that stuff. Now, there is some classic archetypal high school football coach moments.
I got a
shout out to, I don't know if you've ever had the joy to meet their defensive coordinator, Mike Ward.
Oh, yeah. Former Toledo coach, former Bowling Green coach. Good guy.
And he's a great dude, and he brings a lot of that experience there to these young kids.
Yeah, he's serious.
He's got an edge to him, but there's a warmth to him also. He's drawn in to the crouched position of yelling at a linebacker. He's sort of always in that position. Great dude, though.
Mike Ward. Dirk Connor, Chuck Jaco, the AD. We like all the people over at Perrysburg. Great staff. What was your favorite moment from training camp?
I have to say a little bit, because you're doing so much, like, you're trying to do something different than just like game coverage.
Yeah.
So you're really looking under the helmet. You're looking for the personality of these players. It's sort of fun to see them just like hanging out.
Yeah.
Shooting the, you know, while on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That stuff was kind of like my favorite to cover. In terms of the football, you know, they've got two leaders in Josh Tackett and Joe Sini. And they're seniors, but they've also been, I think the stat is like over 5,000 snaps together. And so they're not doing a ton in training camp.
Yeah.
So I didn't totally realize how in control of a game they could be until that first game.
Yeah.
And the public address announcer must have called Joe Sini's name 100 times
on
tackles, and he scored 4 touchdowns. And Josh Tackett, he just kept his head level and led them through some adversity. And what you don't see in high school football practices is a quarterback running through tackles, because they take it easy on the quarterback.
Right.
Well, imagine my surprise when the game started and Josh Tackett is lowering his shoulder, running over everybody in front of him.
Right.
So that was cool. That was cool to see. It's a good project. It's a 16-minute documentary. It's a written profile piece, and there's about, you know, 40 magazine-style photos. That stuff is all published to ToledoBlade.com. This Sunday, it's coming out in your very own newspaper. Yes, The Blade is still publishing newsprint, and I hope it's cool. I hope even if you're not, like, super into college football, you're not super into high school football, you can sort of see, you know, the kids who are into it and why they're into it and why communities get into it.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Project last year was awesome. I know this will be good. And so look forward to it.
Well, no offense to Phil Kaplan of last year, but we think Phil Kaplan of this year did a better job.
Oh, really?
Okay. I do think it's better.
Nice.
I do.
Perfect.
I do.
This can become an annual thing like Hard Knocks.
Well, like I said, this is the second year and I do think it's better. So, you know, knock if you're with me.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. All right. We are now going to look ahead into what is coming up. Briggs, I understand you're going out of town yet again. Where in the world is David Briggs?
Going to Bowling Green, Kentucky.
All right.
They have manufactured the Corvette since 1981. Also, the National Corvette Museum is there, so we'll see if Toledo can keep its sports,
are you swinging by
on the road? I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Okay.
I was gonna go to if Toledo had lost against Mississippi State, was gonna go to Michigan USC. If Toledo won, gonna keep on the ride and see if Toledo can win a game with pretty big Group of Five implications in Bowling Green, Kentucky against Western Kentucky. So. That's a big game. Puts up crazy offensive numbers every year. They're a contender every year in Conference USA. It's going to be tough in a good environment. So,
are you saying that this has the potential to be a trap game?
I don't even know if it's a trap game because Toledo knows exactly what kind of challenge it's playing. I mean, this is kind of like playing one of the top teams in the MAC the week after. So I think they'll be up for it. You know, it's always hard to, you know, you have the crazy emotions after just a huge win in the history of the program. So maybe you would have a little bit of a letdown. But even if they lost, I wouldn't necessarily attribute it to a letdown. I mean, Western Kentucky is just that good. I think Toledo will be ready for the challenge, though. It'll be fun.
Not even a trap. Said it's got it circled on the calendar.
Yeah, Toledo is a favorite.
So lots to look forward to this weekend in college football. Ohio State, Marshall, maybe the least among them, unless you're just still looking for polished points. But BG, Texas A&M, UT looking to continue on against Western Kentucky, and Michigan trying to get right against USC. We'll talk about those results next week on the Heart of the Rivalry. I'll see you next week, Dave.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
Thank you.